you can just fill in the blanks with this as I ask the question. Just fill in the blank. You can just say it verbally out loud. It's just us this morning. Christmas wouldn't be the same without God. Okay, y'all are spiritual people. All right, I was thinking of other things, but, you know, like the trappings, whatever. All right, we can try it again if that, whatever your answer is. Again, Christmas wouldn't be the same without
God.
Love it. All right, well, there's a lot probably in there. All right, concerning Christmas movies. How many of you know Christmas movies are a sacred thing? I mean, there are some things that aren't worth fighting over. This is not one of those categories, but fill in this blank. Christmas, concerning movies, Christmas wouldn't be the same without what movie? All right, one more time, let's try that. Christmas wouldn't be the same without? Okay, got it. It's wonderful. As far as your number one, I mean, how many of y'all have a number one? I'm sure that there's a whole host of movies you esteem and appreciate, but how many of y'all have ever determined, you know, I think this is my number one? Have y'all concluded those deep concerns of life before you go on to the house to be with the Lord? How many of y'all Jingle All the Way as your one? Home Alone. I like that. Schwarzenegger, isn't that good? Sinbad? It's real good. It's hilarious, actually. Home Alone. All right, we got a taker. Christmas Vacation, that'd be Chevy Chase. All right, okay. The Santa Claus, Tim Allen. Okay, Scrooged, Bill Murray. It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, that's good. You know, Jimmy Stewart was actually led to the Lord kind of on his sickbed by a friend of ours, Joan Fitzgerald, led our man Jimmy to the Lord. Yeah, isn't that something? Good to know. A Christmas Story. Good. I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you. Elf. All right. Just checking. The Holiday. That's kind of in the genre now. It happened at Christmas. A Charlie Brown Christmas. All right. Miracle on 34th Street. Die Hard. No, that doesn't count. It was at Christmas, but only watched the censored version on TV. While You Were Sleeping, that's kind of, it happened on Christmas Day. All right, thank you over here. Serendipity kind of maybe squeezes in. White Christmas, The Holiday, we already did that one. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. All right, The Grinch. You know, you got a Jim Carrey version. I like the animated myself. Now, for those my age, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, get on with your bad self. Now, if you're not moved by that, something is wrong. Polar Express, Frosty the Snowman, any takers? One or two? All right. Well, I think I've narrowed mine down maybe to my second top and top. I think my second top might be Family Man with Nicolas Cage and Tia Leone. That's kind of, it's into Christmas. I remember seeing it when we were on the mission field. I don't know if it was like 2000 or when, you know, 2001, but I remember thinking that'll be a classic, you know, just raising the bar on family tradition. But I'm thinking maybe my number one might be A Christmas Carol. Anyone in that camp? But it has to be 1984, George C. Scott. And it certainly can't be the one that came out this last week, FX. That was a little on the dark side. Anyway, I think that one would maybe be my number one. But this novella written by Charles Dickens, published in London in 1843, shares how redemption did in fact find a selfish, miserly crank. He was a man of means. Against the backdrop of London's needy street children, they referred to them as urchins or street urchins, and against the backdrop of the poor in that day. And there is some scholarly debate as to whether this story is fully secular or a Christian allegory. But you can't but consider the repentance, the forgiveness, the total transformation truths. It qualifies to me as an allegory. The themes are powerful, even though it's totally fictional, obviously, with some elements we wouldn't subscribe to. But the takeaway, it's wonderful and moving and powerful and heartfelt. Do I have any takers in here? Come on, if you're not moved by Tiny Tim, we're going to lead you to the Lord afresh now. I'm serious here. But the reason we feel so good at the end is we resonate with the gospel-like aspects that reaffirm that beauty can come out of something once formerly dark and sinister. Great hope can come out of hopelessness. Resurrection of soul and spirit is possible. Can I get a witness? Deliverance is available to the selfish sinner. Compassion can spring out of callousness, greed, and hardness of heart. This story was published December 19th, 1843, and the first edition sold out by Christmas Eve. By the end of 1844, 13 editions had been released. A Christmas Carol has never gone out of print and has been translated into multiple languages for film, stage, opera, and other mediums. The mid-Victorian story is said to have influenced us. It's said to have had impact on Westerners' traditions of Christmas family gatherings, seasonal food and drink, dancing, games, and generosity of spirit. Greed and selfishness, we learn, can be redeemed. Christmas reminds us of such noble themes. I mean, even the worst of sinners can receive grace and repent. So, our man Ebenezer Scrooge, which is y'all's favorite edition? I just want to make sure that I'm with saved people here. What's that? Mickey Mouse. All right, there is a Muppet one too, right? I think so. All right, we'll broaden the circle a little bit. We will make room. But Ebenezer Scrooge was given, he was given a chance. He was given a shot. Anna talked about that, about how God gives us chance after chance after chance. And this man, this ogre, was given a shot at redemption. He far from deserved it. We are in that camp. We far from deserve it. He had a Christmas conversion of sorts. Now, the Industrial Revolution was on at the time, and it was very hard on the working class and certainly working class children. It was a dark and callous time. And in the story, we find systemic dejection and misery. And so Dickens, so as not to alienate his middle class readership, he felt, because he was really gripped at the heart level about the injustice that he saw around him. He had a full head of steam as just an observer. And so he felt the best way to combat ignorance, educational reform, and social concerns of poverty and injustice was to write a deeply felt Christmas story. Brilliant. Brilliant. Instead of going into a political rant, which was his first angered reaction, he sat down to ink, quill, feathered pen, and parchment paper and created a long-lived, heartwarming Christmas narrative. He fought injustice with a narrative, a story. Again, he fought injustice with a narrative, a story. And with all the angst and ill will, even in our present world today, we too have a Christmas narrative. We too have a story. Ours, however, is even more colorful, brilliant, heartfelt, impossible with man, yet full of redemption, hope, and power. And better yet, it is historically accurate. It's realism versus fanciful Victorian era fiction. God the Father, Son, and Spirit predate Dickens by a few years. Wouldn't you agree? I think so. Cultural problems did not begin with old London, but Dickens wrote of his time, just like we all do. Now, if you'll remember in the film, and again, I can remember as a child when it would come on, and I remember there seemed to be kind of a real spooky mystery to it, especially as a young little boy, especially when the ghost of Christmas present would uncover under his robes what? Y'all have got to go home today in Jesus' name and watch this flick so we can have a conversation here. But remember the two needy, pitiful, struggling children, ignorance and want. They were intentionally inserted in the storyline for the very purpose of compassion. That's why Dickens placed them there. Tiny Tim was placed in the narrative for the purpose of soliciting compassion, because the times were dark, uncaring, callous. Dark times make for hardened, dark people and institutions. Dark times promote fear and hopelessness. Yet thank God for the God that predates Dickens in the Victorian age. God was never caught off guard by our depravity, human depravity. There was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, long before Dickens, Scrooge, old London, and misers, long before Adam. Join me in John 1. Thank God for God. Thank God for his plan. Thank God in his unknowing grace. Head remedy, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We skip over to John 3:19 that reads, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. And we back up into verse 16 that you already heard today at Advent. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Dickens wrote about a Christmas existence, past, present, and yet to come in a man's life. And for this particular man, it was it was hard to look at. It was hard to look at. He'd say, Spirit, take me away from here. In other words, I can't bear it. Turn up the music. Get busy. And maybe some of us have been harassed or a bit tortured by maybe our past, possibly our present, or the uncertainty of the future. It's very real. These issues are very real. The question is, what do we do with them? Are there things in life that can be redeemed? And so it was hard for Ebenezer to deal with them, to look at them. It was scary and painful to do so, for him to consider. Again, our past may be painful to look at. Our present, it may involve some pain. Our future may be somewhat fearful. That's why I love the lyric in O Little Town of Bethlehem that says, the hopes and fears of all the years, past, present, and future, are met in thee tonight. There is something whereby we can redeem our past, our present, and the future not yet even lived. John 3:16 certainly embodies a Christmas past, the Christmas past, the original Christmas past, yea, God, and the original glorious Christmas past counsels out our fear and our pain of our past, our present, and our future. The original Christmas deals with the sting of our flawed humanity and our bad choices and our ill will and our detours that we just wish somehow could be taken care of or go away. The good news of the gospel is they can be. We learned about that a couple of weeks ago, about how that mechanism of forgetfulness in God and how He throws our sins into the sea. But the fictional ghost in Dickens' account were striving with Scrooge to bring him to the end of himself and open his eyes unto transformation. Our Jesus certainly comes, strives with us to bring about the born again experience that we read about in John 3:3. And thank God we don't have to strive to be better, to do better. Thank God we're not just a room full of moralists here today that are going to turn over a new leaf come January. Y'all know you're going to eat right for about a week, hello, before we totally backslide, you know. But it's not turning over the leaf or trying harder. Thank God there's someone that brings about a miracle of spirit and heart. And so, born again, thank God. Our Christmas story is that Jesus was born so that we could be reborn. Born again, why? Nicodemus asked in John 3, because we all got some stooge up in us, some Scrooge, hello? We've all got some up in us. Are we here? We've all got some rascal. We've all got some, that reprobate nature. It doesn't take long. We're born into sin by nature, children of wrath. It's the human condition. You know, the original fall. Don't get too mad at Adam. It would have been you or me if Adam had gotten it right, but he didn't. But we all have some Scrooge up in us. Anybody here, is it just me? I got some Scrooge up in me. It comes out, you know. We were born with it. And also, we've made many choices along the way to confirm it. Have we not? Scrooge wasn't always as hardened as we meet him in the opening scene. I mean, in the opening scene, he's not a nice customer, is he? You know, just bent over that single candle and just, you know, being irate, you know, with his employee. The older Scrooge we meet in the beginning, somewhat evolved, choice by choice, decision by decision, Christmas after Christmas, and chain link after chain link. And in the beginning of the movie, we find Ebenezer's nephew trying futilely to engage his ornery uncle, reaching out to him, inviting him to join them at their home for Christmas dinner. And again, our Jesus, thank God, he invites us to his dinner to dine with him. But this nephew brings greetings to the uncle of Merry Christmas. And Scrooge responds, Merry Christmas? What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You are poor enough. His nephew responds, what right have you to be dismal? What reason have you to be morose? You are rich enough. Multitudes are saying humbug to Christ's invitation. But it can change. Such is the gospel. Such is the hope of the gospel and the power of salvation. You've heard me say before that some of the worst cases are God's good pleasure to demonstrate mercy and grace. Some of the worst cases, I'm praying for a guy. Y'all keep hearing me talk about high school friends. I was supposed to have lunch again with a high school friend this past week. And I'm on the cusp of going for it. And then I find out he's got a lung clot and he's being HVAC'd to Rex right now. From Moorhead. And I'm just like, bless God, I got to get there. But I tell you, he was a tough customer, you know. But when that moment comes, it's like, I can't waste any time. I must give him the goods that can transform. But God loves to take the hardest of cases to display his amazing mercy. Scrooge did change through an encounter. He went from making money his business to making humanity his business, and going from hard and harsh to kind and generous, even becoming a second father to Tiny Tim. You see, the heart of Christian morality is the great commandment to love God and our neighbor as ourself. You see through the eyes of others as to how we should live and act in the world around us. He changed. It was dramatic. It wasn't temporary. He changed. It was dramatic. It wasn't temporary. Some people who formerly knew Scrooge were puzzled at his change and transformation. Question to some folk who knew you, are they puzzled at your life? I hope so. I hope your old friends are. Some in Scrooge's life possibly laughed at his change and transformation. Again, a good question. Has anyone ever laughed, sneered, or mocked our, quote, transformation? They probably thought he was out of his mind. So happy, so free, so different, so generous. And they look at him and they're like, I'm concerned about him. You ever had people concerned about you? Inwardly, you need to think, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about you. Good, be concerned. The getting is good. Won't you come in? The waters are good. He's so free, so different, so generous. Has anyone ever accused you of losing your mind or thought you were out of your mind? Jesus' family sure thought so about him, so you're in good company. I always tell people, I say, just go ahead and lose your mind and get into his mind. That's a good trade-off. But hopefully our transformation is real enough. People must do a double take and scratch their head in wonder. It's a good thing. If there's a little reaction, it's a good thing. Don't apologize. If you're going against the grain of culture where you find yourself and you can feel it a little bit, you feel that a little bit of the confrontation. How many of y'all want to have impact in life? How many of you know you can't have impact without a little confrontation? So if you feel a little, this is uncomfortable, or I don't know if I'm received, or they don't appreciate my value system, that's good. Don't apologize for that. That's okay. I can remember after getting saved, going back into my old fraternity, and they would kind of push their bong under the couch and kind of hide, you know, and they were, I didn't say, oh, come on, guys, be yourself. Pull the bong. I'm like, yeah, good. Feel conviction. I walk it through the room. You know, I thought, good. I'm not going to be weird or a nerd, but it's like, you know, good. I'm not going to apologize for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There were some that were okay with it. Others got real weird about it. You know, they just, it's okay. It's not like, please understand. It's like, no, let the awkwardness be there. Sooner or later, the nickel will drop. It's not on me. There's one contending for your heart, one contending for your life. So I'm sure there were those that were bewildered at the transformation of the ogre, the miser, who now is actually happy, who laughs through life, who actually has a little bit of joy, who's actually a little bit generous, who cares for his neighbor. Go figure. Some of our students, sometimes we've told the story when they'll go home after a conversion. We'll say, look, now don't immediately go home and preach to mom and dad. Just kind of model before them, be respectful, offer to do the dishes. I mean, even though when a student offers to do the dishes, revival has come. But anyway, offer to do the dishes, make the bed, ask them how you can serve them, you know. But there have been times on occasion where this new behavior, a parent, you know, will tell a student, you know, they say, you know, I'm kind of concerned about Susie. I'm kind of concerned. It's like, well, Mama, you weren't concerned when I was running around and when I was clubbing and was, you know, and had this lifestyle or was, you know, did a little drug here or there. You weren't, but all of a sudden I'm trying to serve the Lord and honor you and honor those around me all of a sudden. So it's a misguided concern, but it's good. It's good. It shows contrast. Contrast is a good thing. We need more contrast. We don't want to be deluded. We don't want to be kind of tepid, as it were. We don't convict, but the Holy Spirit, we're to be kind and gracious. We can't lead anyone to the Lord, but the Spirit of God can. He's the one that convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We're just to be who we are. You're not even mindful of being a Christian, not even mindful of being a son or a daughter, but there is a testimony that goes with you, and it's good. It goes with you in your office, in the marketplace. It goes with you in the classrooms, you know, in front of your neighbors. You're not even mindful of it. Going back to the same high school guy, he's one of the ones I went to a Carolina football game with him, and they were just kind of apologizing for slipping certain, you know, certain words. I'm not even mindful. You know, they're apologizing for cussing. And I'm not going to say, you know, no, just be yourself. You know, and the wife said, well, you know, we got to remember, you know, you're a man of the cloth. I'm like, cloth? What kind of cloth have I got? You know, I'm just me. But it's good. I'm not going to apologize. If there's a standard, good. If there's a little bit of contrast, good. That's a good thing. I think such was the case with our man Ebenezer here. He was laughing. He was generous. Wisdom is proved by her fruits. You judge a tree by its fruits. All of a sudden, you want to be generous and benevolent, and you turn the other cheek, and forgiveness becomes easy, and you don't take up an offense, and there's just a breadth of heart and a scope of life that wasn't there before, and you're not living crippled by insecurity and so afraid of what others think about you, which is the rat race that everybody's so concerned. What do they think about me? And all they care about is what you think about them, and no one's becoming the wiser. You know, but someone's secure. I'm loved from above. I'm born again of incorruptible seed. And the uncreated God dwells within me. Father approves me. My identity comes from Him. He has set my feet in a secure place. It's okay whatever disparity is felt or whatever contrast or whatever conviction may be there. It's okay. It's a good thing. Just revel in your God and enjoy your salvation and let it break forth on the right and the left. And let men see the good deeds. Let them see the difference. You're not mindful of it. You're not mindful of your morality. We're not moralists. We're not taking our pulse. We're in love with the Creator. We are in love with Jesus. And out of that overflow, we just live life, and it's natural. It's not scripted, it's natural, it's supernaturally natural. But there is a witness there, and there is a testimony there. I think it's good when those not yet in Christ observe the naturalness of our walk in God. That it's not squirrely like the caricature, or rigid like some puritanical image they might have. How natural we are, and the beauty that adorns people. I look at some of you. There's some of y'all in here I've joked and teased with and said, it looks like someone washed your face with angel soap. There's just a glow. There's something on your countenance that's real and different and markedly different. We had an international student at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill when we would open air preach in those early days. And even though the international didn't understand English that well, she came up and said to someone, there's something face, trying to come up with countenance. There's something different about the fact. There's a glow, there's a shine. It's Christ within, the hope of glory. And so we're not trying to, what does a Christian do? I'm just in my identity, walking out who we are due to the miracle of conversion. Thank God for it. Are y'all grateful to be in the Lord? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Remember the disciples? Even the demons were subjected to us in your name. That's great. That's just like a big deal. But rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your names are in the Book of Life. Jing, jing. Come on, that is a big deal. Certainly demons are subjected to you in my name. Certainly the sick will be healed when you lay hands on them in my name. Certainly there'll be a supernatural element to your life and your walk. But the biggest celebration and miracle is you are mine and I am yours. Celebrate it. It's a big deal. I'm so grateful to be a Christian today. How about you? I'm so grateful. I do not know how others that don't know the Lord make it. We have challenges enough as believers. How can anyone navigate and go forward without the grace of God, without a promise to stand on and hang their hat on? How is it done? I don't know. Knowing the fear of God, we persuade men, you see. Get into His mind. Hopefully our transformation is real enough that people do a double take and scratch their heads. That's okay. That's what transformation means. It's what born again means. But we're not exclusive. I was just telling someone this week on a text, we're talking about kind of a little brouhaha going on, just something in culture. And I said, you know, we want to be fundamental in doctrine, but not fundamental in spirit. We want to be broad in spirit. We will not move on what we believe to be true on the major tenets of the faith. We major on the majors, we minor on the minors, and we're to be a happy people and broad of spirit. Hello? But let people wonder. It's okay. That's what transformation means. It's what born again means. One man posed the question, am I more converted now than last year? Meaning, what is the trajectory of my spirit, my life? Are we becoming more like the misery Scrooge or the joyful, liberated Ebenezer? Christmas is not just a time to be charitable, but to assess the charity of our spirit. Are we yet provoking a response to be puzzled and even laughed at? You feel sometimes a cost and a price at being a Christian? Great. Celebrate it. The spirit of glory rests upon you. Hello? The question to be concerned with is, why am I not persecuted? Why am I not misunderstood? Not that we're looking to be, but if there's a little persecution there, yeah, good. That means there's contrast. At his conversion, Scrooge didn't care because he finally comprehended how depraved he was and how much misery he had caused others. Early on, Scrooge said, when asked to give to charity, he said, quote, I don't make merry and I don't make others merry. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, what an epitaph, you know, on your tombstone. Let it be written. How beautiful, how profound, but true enough. I mean, that's real tombstone material there. But upon his epiphany, he couldn't wait to be generous. Generous of heart and spirit and generous of possessions. He couldn't wait to give back. Couldn't wait to give away. He enjoyed laughter. Come on, somebody. He enjoyed laughter. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He enjoyed others' prosperity and good fortune. He contributed to their good fortune. And as said, he even became Tiny Tim's second father and would ensure his medical care. Who does that? Who says if something goes wrong with your child, I've got it. It's on me. Who does that? A transformed man does that. In other words, it's not in the natural bent to care beyond ourselves, you see. But his circle got bigger. Like the Grinch, that heart got bigger. There's hope, you see. Do we realize that our amazing charities are rooted in and were conceived by a Christian goodwill and values and worldview? I mean, it's amazing. Just the benefit of Christianity to culture in the old world and even to our world. Our adoption agencies, our relief organizations, orphan care, homeless shelters, food and clothes pantries, crisis pregnancy centers, hospitals, educational centers that were born in the foundation of the virtue of Christianity and extending a hand, a helping hand, and trying to help mankind. Again, that's not natural. That's what the gospel does in culture. If you track the fruit of gospel in any culture, it's amazing how technology goes up and how benefits of caring for the disinherited go up. And all the charitable, benevolent organization, there's a rise of concern because really it is the church that's the interstage right. Scrooge went crazy generous. He was drunk with forgiveness, and that's a good thing. His forgiveness. If you don't know you're forgiven, you don't really believe it, you won't be drunk. You'll always be worried. Am I good enough? Am I good enough? Have I done enough? Have I done enough? A case of the hardening of the arteries. It's like, I just don't know. I just don't know if I measure up. I just don't know. Can I do enough? Will I ever mark up? Will I ever mark up? I think parents, our children ought to be so secure that even a misstep swallows. Here, he was drunk with his own forgiveness. His forgiveness. So was Saul, who later became Paul. So was Mary Magdalene. So was the madman of the Gadarenes. So was the woman at the well in John 4. So was Mary of Bethany, poured out the perfume. On and on, such are the redeemed. Remember, John 1 said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Go figure. Even in this powerful work of fiction, Ebenezer couldn't help but shine. He had been given a gift, pardon, a second chance, a new beginning. I tell you what, a new beginning's a big deal when we realize the debt we owed. That's a big deal to have the slate wiped clean. If you've never sinned, it's not a big deal. But for the rest of us who have, big deal. Big deal. It is a big deal. It brings comfort. But more than that, it brings joy. I love the hymn, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Fear not then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bright, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. Good theology in this. This is rich in conversion transformational awareness. The writers of these songs were writing out of their experience. I love the Christmas songs and hymns that champion freedom, deliverance, transformation, and salvation. We need it. Scrooge had great pain and deep regret over his past, the same over his present, foreboding, crippling fear of the future. Who can live like that? Jesus certainly died for better. Then a conversion of sorts occurs. He repents and is transformed. And redemption allows him to begin again. Biblically, we are born again into a new hope. We turn, change of mind, change of heart. Repentance, which is a Hebrews 6 elementary teaching in Christianity. No longer slaves of our past. No longer. Is anything gripping you and holding you back? Something you did, something you've done, trying to define you? Let the blood of Jesus, let it go. We're no longer slaves of our past, our present, even our future. It can be redeemed supernaturally. We are made new. And the joy of it all, being now new creations in Christ, creates joy unspeakable and full of glory. We live differently. You see, like Marley and Scrooge, we too had our chains we were lugging around. Heavy, burdensome, constant reminders. And in one fell swoop, we are free. In one fell swoop, we're free. What's left then is to be joyful, happy, generous, large of spirit, benevolent, caring, compassionate, serving, outward versus inward, living outside of ourselves. Living outside of ourselves. It's hard to give what you hadn't first received. We love him because once you've received pardon, it's easy then to extend mercy. If you don't think you've ever received it, it's hard to give it. You don't know it. Don't comprehend it. What does that look like? I don't even know. I don't know where to begin. You see. But once we've received, then we can live out of that. And live out beyond ourselves, you see. For what we've received, we now pass on. We are changed, different, redeemed, saved, born again, new creatures in Christ, delivered, transformed, forgiven. Much to be happy about, much to sing about. I love toward the end of the movie when Ebenezer awakens from his visitations and runs to open the window to the ringing bells in town and asks a young lad walking by, said, "You there, my boy, what day is today?" He said, "Today, well, it's Christmas Day." And it's like, thank God I didn't miss it. The spirits were able to do it in one night. In other words, I didn't miss it. You know, sitting here today, do you know the miracle? You didn't miss it. Or God didn't miss you. You're here today. This is Christmas Day. In salvation, you didn't miss it. Thank God. That is a big deal. I'm getting ready to visit someone after we shut down here. I've got to get there before death does. Because people can miss it. You didn't miss it. He didn't miss it. Thank God for the gift of God. But it motivates us to get some more. The great D.L. Moody said, God save the elect and then elect some more. Let's just go get them. Amen. Let's just go get them. The miracle happened for him. It wasn't too late for us, the God of love that we celebrated today at Advent, has stepped in. And we are glad. We are glad. Scrooge asked his nephew, "What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry?" Oh, let us tell you. Will we be happy this season? Grateful, thankful, joyful, large of heart? I love 1 Peter in conclusion here. If you'll turn there, 1 Peter. It's a miracle what's happened to us. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. We won't let Ebenezer get one up on us because we are him. We are him. It's not like he's the bad guy, you know, and we're the angel. No, we're him. We totally understand. Peter had a grasp here in 1 Peter 1, 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, explanation point. In his great, what? Mercy. He has given us, what? New birth into despair. I'm sorry, what does it say? New birth into what? A living, what kind of hope? A living hope. It's alive, it's real. Maybe yesterday it was a little dismal, but there's still faith for today and tomorrow. A living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise. In other words, he can even redeem the mess. He can redeem the squirrely past, you see, and then our present trials that we're in on the believing side of the Christ. Of the cross will result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with what? Inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Ebenezer Scrooge, that's us. But God saved us, gave us time, extended mercy. He became generous. He became the talk of the town. Probably puzzled some, probably laughed at by others. That's okay. What contrast? And it says that there was no one that could keep Christmas like Scrooge under that time. The debtor realized the gift he received. And he had a full heart. I don't know about you, but I want to have a full heart. It's a daily choice and desire to lean into it. I want to lean into a full heart. I want to lean into joy. I want to lean into gratefulness. Because I'm telling you, the opportunities are there not to. And that Adamic bent is right there to volunteer. The flesh says, pick me, pick me. But no, we want to be led of the Spirit and crucified the deeds of the flesh. I want to lean into the grace of God. I want it to be real. I want to be converted more today than I was a year ago. Y'all understand the context of how I say that. I want more. I want more. I want more. He wants me to have more. Can you put your hands up to the Lord today? Lord, we just want more. Matter of fact, stand to your feet. Lord, we want more. We want more of your grace, more of your goodness, more of your love, more of your increase, experiencing more mercy. Lord, even more happiness, more joy. Lord, a greater faith. Lord, more wisdom, more ability to discern your heart and your stirrings. Father, we just ask and pray that you would go deeper and allow us to have a more fuller experience. Lord, left to ourselves, it's not good. But Lord, we just ask you for the filling of your Holy Ghost, the filling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. And I pray these stories during this season, these movies, Lord, they do carry truth. Lord, they do carry eternal truths. Even in an allegory, we can learn and be provoked. In the name of the Lord.